Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, welcome to the Autism Detective. This is Patricia Lemmer, the author of Outsmarting Autism, and my guest today is Kim Mack Rosenberg, speaking to us from New Jersey. Is that correct?
That is correct. I am at home today.
Okay. So Kim and I have known each other for quite a long time. Kim now serves as the general counsel for Children's Health Defense, one of my favorite organizations. And Kim is the mother of a young adult son. How old is he?
Henry is 24 years old.
Oh, my God. How's that possible?
I know. You're telling me.
24 years old. So I've known you at least 20 years then.
That's right. And Henry is, I'm really proud to say, graduating from Landmark College this weekend with a bachelor's in computer science.
This weekend?
This weekend.
Oh, my goodness. Mazel tov. That's incredible. Has he been there how long? 4 years? 5 years?
I think this was, well, he started in 2019, I think.
Oh, wow. So we had COVID in there.
2018 to 2019, so yes, he had COVID in there as well.
Whoa. And he's going to have a bachelor's in computer science.
Yes, so we're going to see what he's going to do, what his next chapter is, but we're very excited and very proud of him.
Oh, well, give him my congratulations. So, Kim,
I
think I was trying to remember where we met. I think it was in New York City at the NAA, National Autism Association, monthly meeting. Is that right?
You know, I think it was before then, because Henry was really small when you and I first connected, and our NAA chapter didn't get rolling until he was 8 years old.
Oh, wow. So it was before that.
It was before that. And our mutual friend, Melissa, I think, may have connected us.
Okay. Yep. So Melissa has two kids, and Melissa is the the owner of the story of the rug, which I've told many times on this show. But for people who haven't heard it, there was a toxic rug in her son's kindergarten, and every time he sat at circle time, he was really difficult behavior showed up, and we identified the rug as the culprit. And when we removed the rug, he was fine. He had a real bad allergic reaction to whatever it was off-gassing. So, Kim, let's go back to you and Henry and CHD, and you got into this rabbit hole of autism through Henry, obviously 20 something years ago. How old was Henry when he was diagnosed?
So Henry was an interesting case because he was diagnosed with a language-based learning disorder when he was very young. He actually didn't get a formal autism diagnosis until he was about 10 years old.
Mm.
But I knew.
You knew.
And I treated him, and, you know, he got all the therapies as if he had autism and the biomedical treatments, and all of that. So, he was just with a pediatric practice where the doctor didn't encourage an autism diagnosis.
Uh-huh. Well, it was different back then, and they knew about language. And was he a late talker? Was he a kid who stopped talking?
He was a kid who kind of plateaued in his language.
Uh-huh.
At about 15 months. So he was actually a pretty early talker. He had at least single words and, you know, one and two word phrases pretty early. But then just kind of stopped developing more language. And the language that he did develop subsequently was very echolalic.
Uh-huh.
And so he was tricky. It wasn't pure echolalia. He would pick up words and phrases from things like videos, and he would use them appropriately, so people would think that he was using conversational language, but I knew he was using Thomas the Tank Engine.
Wow.
And the first time he called someone governor, I was like, see, that's not how four-year-olds speak.
No.
Hello, governor.
Oh, wow. And so did he get speech and language therapy? Was that really the first place you went?
Yes, those were the first things we did. He got early intervention services, and he got speech and language therapy and occupational therapy and special education through them until he turned three, and then he became part of the preschool special education system in New York City. And we ended up in a private placement school for him because, much as I had hoped that there would be something available in New York City, either at the preschool level or subsequently, you know, elementary, middle school, and high school, there just wasn't anything in a public school classroom that was appropriate for him.
Mm-hmm. And so do you think there was a trigger, a biomedical something, an environmental something that set him back?
I do. And I think, you know, as for many kids, it's complicated. I do. And this is my personal belief. I believe that his infant vaccines played a role in this for him. He definitely had a lot of food sensitivities and things like that as an infant and toddler. And he became, you know, I think probably one of the most challenging cases I know from the nutritionist we worked with at the time that she had seen with respect to food issues for a young child. But I noticed that plateau in language that I had mentioned after his mumps vaccine at 15 months. He goes back far enough that you could still get separate MMR shots.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had his measles, mumps, and rubella separated by 3 months.
But he still reacted.
He still reacted, but, you know, it wasn't falling off a cliff, thankfully, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, so many parents have seen with their children. But it was kind of that plateau, and then, you know, toe walking began and things like that. So
interesting.
But he had had, you know, I look back at pictures of him from when he was a baby, and he had those, you know, allergic shiners and big bright red cheeks that, you know, just suggest he's reacting to something.
Wow.
So whether there were other environmental triggers at play and that was the tipping point for him,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know for certain. I do know also that he did not get a hepatitis B vaccine at birth.
Were they giving them then?
They were giving them then, but he was jaundiced, and his pediatrician held off on giving it to him for a couple of months.
Mm. But he did have it, but not at birth.
But not at birth.
Yeah.
I believe
so what other therapies did you do? What other interventions? What made the difference for Henry?
So I think that one of the things that made the biggest difference for Henry was beginning biomedical treatments for him.
Okay.
And we began those when he was about 4 years old, and we sort of got into it. I was interested in it and learning about it, but his eating issues became so severe right around the time he turned four. And it just so happened that if he was in a special education preschool, and his speech therapist at the preschool said to me that she was going to a lecture at the 14th Street Y in New York City because we were in Manhattan, and there was a nutritionist coming to speak about nutrition and autism and gluten and casein-free diets, and she thought it might be helpful if I went with her.
Your ears perked up.
My ears perked up, and so yeah. Down I went to the 14th Street Y to see Kelly Dorfman.
Mm.
And
you know Kelly was my co-founder for DDR.
Yes,
wow.
I do. And Kelly may remember Henry because he was a challenge. So we went, and I saw her, and I took in all this information, and, you know, it sounded like Henry, and I went home and told Henry's dad that we needed to do this testing on him, and so we did, and Kelly, and we made an appointment, but we had several months wait to get in to see her, and in the interim, as we're waiting for these test results and as we're waiting for our appointment, Henry started slowly removing foods from his diet.
Oh, he put himself on an elimination diet, huh?
Oh, he eliminated all food eventually.
No.
And he literally stopped eating. He was drinking apple juice and water.
Oh, my God.
That was it. And what we subsequently, and working with Kelly and working with others, determined is that everything was making him feel unwell, so he would remove things that made him feel unwell until there was nothing left making him feel good about food. And he was within, you know, the next several months was scoped by Arthur Kriegsman and had, you know, really very serious GI tract issues and, you know, friable tissue at his colon. It was not a good situation. It's no wonder that he stopped
eating. Amazing that he was alive.
He ended up in he was, you know, because you have a kid on the spectrum, right? He's very particular about which juice boxes he'll drink. It was only the Apple and Eve organic apple juice, tall, skinny juice boxes, not the short, squat ones.
Oh, my goodness.
And Kelly had us mixing up, like, bodybuilder amino acid powder and siphoning it into his juice boxes. I was siphoning stuff into his juice boxes with an eyedropper, you know, with a medicine topper. And eventually he went to feeding therapy and was scoped, and, you know, so it was a combination of, and then, you know, then getting him on a really solid gluten-free, casein-free, soy-free diet. And
Kelly's really a genius. I mean, for people who don't know her, I have an archived interview with her that you can listen to on Spotify, and she really is a genius. She's still working, so I hope people can find her.
She was amazing. I mean, she, I think, really was integral in saving Henry's life, because we came very close to inpatient feeding hospitalization for him.
Amazing. Kelly also has a book called Cure Your Child with Food, and that's available, should be at libraries. Wow, Kim, that's amazing. I didn't know you had gone through that. And so Kelly was really the one who brought him back to life. But did he stay in special education his whole early years in high school?
He did. I mean, he was in special, and, you know, Landmark College is for individuals diagnosed with a variety of learning challenges. So he's remained in special education his whole life. He went to a really wonderful school from pre-K through 12 that was, in a way, similar to Landmark College, because everyone had a diagnosis of something, but not everyone had autism. There were, you know, kids who had dysgraphia or dyslexia or ADHD and at various places along the spectrum. So there were children there, some of whom had more significant challenges than Henry, some of whom had fewer challenges, and there were some great social models for him, which is really wonderful.
And was that in New York? Can you share the name?
Sure. It was the Aaron School in New York City.
A-A-R-O-N, named after a person, right?
Yes.
And did you have the city of New York paid for him to go there, right?
And we had to fight the city of New York every year. But ultimately, yes, the city of New York largely funded funded that, as they had to, because they didn't. I would go and look at placements that they recommended for him because, you know, I didn't feel compelled to sue the city every year. It was not my goal to have to do that. In the hopes that there would be, you know, a public school classroom that would be appropriate for him. But there wasn't. There's not, unfortunately, there's not a lot, I think, even to this day, in New York City for children with autism or children with other learning differences. There are some good classrooms. It's not that there aren't, and there's some good classrooms for kids with other, you know, with different challenges. There just wasn't an appropriate classroom for Henry.
Now, were you already a lawyer?
I was. I was already a lawyer.
You were already a lawyer when Henry was born?
Yes.
Yes. So you knew the ropes. You knew how to get services and how to have your due process.
Well, I did and I didn't, right? Because that's not the area of law I practice. And it's hard when it's your own. I hired a special education lawyer. There was no way I was going to do my own kid's case. Maybe someone else could. I was just too close to it. And I had a big job to do as mom, you know, in finding all the services and arranging and finding the best therapists and dealing with the insurance issues and the Board of Education and all of those things. So,
right.
And working, because I was a working mom. I was I was practicing law. I never stopped.
But you weren't practicing special education law.
No, and I never have. I've done a few pro bono cases, but I do practice now. I still have a private practice, as well as my work with Children's Health Defense, where I represent primarily providers and sometimes families, who provide medically necessary services to kids and adults with autism to help get them insurance coverage for their services or help the providers who face, you know, these services are expensive, so they often face recoupments from insurance companies. So I work with them to get services and to make sure people are getting paid appropriately.
What a shame that our institutions don't understand that if they complied with our wishes, our requests, that it would be so much less expensive in the long run. That if the New York City schools provided appropriate education, they wouldn't have had to shell out tens of thousands of dollars over Henry's lifetime to educate him. I mean, it's just so stupid. It just makes me crazy.
Well, and to pay the city's lawyers to fight all these parents who are just looking for an appropriate education for their children, right? They, New York City has not done, unfortunately, a great job, and I'm a little out of the loop with it because he's, you know, older now, but in developing programs that children with autism could succeed in. You know, they would develop programs occasionally, and they have a very small ABA program. I mean, literally a few dozen kids. And they've tried to develop other programs, but, you know, we had families who would come to the school that Henry attended, the Aaron School, having been asked to leave public school programs where they would have these integrated classrooms, small-sized integrated classrooms, and they would say, well, yes, it's for children with autism to be integrated with general education children, but we don't want kids who have sensory issues, and we don't want kids who are academically behind, and we want kids who can attend. And I would say, which child with autism is it that they want?
Yeah,
because
I don't
know one.
Because
I haven't seen that child.
Right.
You know, everyone I know may not have all of those things, but has at least one.
It's very
frustrating, and
I
don't
imagine.
Know who they were working with to develop that.
Wow. So you didn't move to New Jersey until after Henry finished up at Aaron. I thought you might have moved there to get an appropriate public education, but that's not what happened, right?
No, I just moved here in 2019.
Okay. And so your legal stuff that you got interested in led you to representing clients in kind of related medical autism, special needs, related areas, but not directly.
Correct. I mean, and it led me to my work at Children's Health Defense and my work in sort of the health freedom, medical freedom movement even before I joined CHD as well.
So how long have you been at CHD?
I have been at CHD, it'll be 2 years in April. And I had worked with Children's Health Defense before that through my private practice and had worked a lot of related issues, beginning really with joining the NAA chapter and the Elizabeth Burt Center for Autism Law and Advocacy in 2008.
All right. Kim, we need to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to move on to your legal work and your writing and your testifying and the important work that you're doing now. You're listening to The Autism Detective. This is Patricia Lemmer with my guest, Kim Mack Rosenberg. We'll be right back.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Lemmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to The Autism Detective. My guest is attorney Kim Mack Rosenberg, who's general counsel for the Children's Health Defense and the mother of Henry, now 24, who is graduating from Landmark College at this season. Oh, that's so exciting, Kim. So how did you originally get involved with CHD? And tell our listeners who may not be familiar with CHD a little background of that.
So the Children's Health Defense is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and our mission is to end childhood health epidemics by eliminating toxic exposures. And we're looking to help restore and protect the health of children by eliminating those exposures and holding people who are responsible accountable for what they have done, and to establish safeguards also to prevent future harm to children's health. And we do that through four pillars. We do it through legal, science, education, and advocacy. And obviously, I'm mostly involved in the legal end, but there's a lot of crossover between all of those pillars that we have. And we have a newsletter that goes out regularly and is also online, called The Defender, and we have CHDTV, which is chock full of interesting interviews, and our scientists at CHD are busy both doing independent research as well as, you know, examining and analyzing research that's done by others to keep us up to date on the latest science in areas that affect children's health. And then on my end, with legal, we also do a lot of education and advocacy in the legal department, but we work on looking at issues related to vaccines, related to EMR and wireless, related to government transparency, related to, we've sort of gotten into the issue of censorship and free speech because CHD itself was so heavily censored, especially during COVID, but even before COVID, we were censored. Now we've been largely deplatformed from most of the major social media. We are on X.
So some big names here. The founder of CHD is Robert Kennedy Jr.
It is.
And the president of CHD is our mutual friend Mary Holland. And Mary's been on my show twice. And the science guy, the head science guy at CHD is Brian Hooker. Right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I've known Mr. Kennedy and Mary and Brian for many, many years, and it's been a real pleasure to be able to work with all of them. And obviously I had worked with them in different capacities over the course of the years, particularly with Mary and with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And Mary and I were among the early founders of a group called the Elizabeth Burt Center for Autism Law and Advocacy, which really did some important work and education and bringing light to legal issues with respect to children with autism across all different kinds of legal landscapes, including special education and health and insurance.
And who was Elizabeth Burt? Services.
Elizabeth Burt was an autism mother and a lawyer who died tragically in an accident. I don't know the exact year she passed, but I believe in the early 2000s, and she was one of the early advocates for, you know, protecting our children.
Wow. And is that center still in existence?
It still exists, but a lot of what we call it EBCALA, that's the acronym, a lot of what EBCALA did has been taken over by larger organizations over the years. So a lot of special education work is done by an organization called COPA, and a lot of the other work is actually being done at CHD now, and there are other organizations that are also, you know, involved in these areas. But EBCALA was really one of the early organized efforts to bring attention to the legal issues facing individuals with autism and other challenges.
So CHD and Robert Kennedy Jr. and Mary and you are some of my amazing mentors and some of the most ethical people who I know who have been maligned and censored and badmouthed by practically every media that's out there, in ways that are unfathomable in this country where we allegedly have free speech. Can you address that? How is that possible? Why is it okay?
Well, it's not okay. And
it isn't okay.
It's not. And it's one of the reasons that CHD stepped into lawsuits with respect to it being censored and with respect to Mr. Kennedy being censored, because there was a prevailing, especially again during the height of the COVID pandemic, a prevailing narrative that media was putting out there, that the government was putting out there, and everything else was silenced. And people can't make it's very difficult for people to make decisions about their own health, the health of their children, when you can't get all information. And frankly, to me, it shows a lack of regard for the intellect of people to make a decision and to weigh information, to make a decision that's appropriate for their family when they don't have the opportunity to hear different viewpoints. And most people don't know that, you know, we think of the First Amendment as free speech and the opportunity to speak freely. And it's not unlimited. There are, you know, at the outer edges, there are things that you cannot say and do. But what people also don't realize is it's not just the opportunity to speak, it's the opportunity to hear or read information. So you have a right as a consumer of information under the First Amendment to hear a variety of viewpoints, and that right was taken away as well.
Right. It's really quite amazing. It really was brainwashing. It was fear-mongering to the nth degree. And there, I know so many people who believe that this fear-mongering lying was okay, and that it is the truth, and that everything else was a conspiracy theory. How did you fight that as an attorney?
I saw something online on a YouTube video or something, probably in like 2021, 2022, and it was footage of a rally in Australia. A march in Australia where people said, someone had a T-shirt on that said, "I need a new conspiracy theory because all of mine have come true."
I loved it, Kim. Okay.
I loved it.
I love that, too. We need to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to continue this, how you as an attorney fought, testified, brought to lawyers this censorship and the right of the public to hear both sides of the story in many, many areas. So hold tight, and because we want to hear that. You're listening to Kim Mack Rosenberg, an attorney with Children's Health Defense, who's my guest today, and we will be right back. Stay tuned.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detectives. I got a little excited there at the end. You know, I think, Kim, you are doing such important work to make our First Amendment rights viable. I love that joke that all the conspiracy theories are coming true, really. We need some new ones. So how have you used the law to help educate the public, to go through your four pillars to educate and make people understand that there are two sides to some of these stories.
So we've done it in some very direct ways. We've done several lawsuits with respect to doctor speech being censored, because that was one of the big issues that much more light was brought to during the COVID pandemic. It's been going on in the past, but it really came out in a major way where doctors, states were saying to doctors, you can't tell your patients about anything other than the quote-unquote standard of care treatments that we are recommending, which were expensive and ineffective and sometimes dangerous drugs like remdesivir. You couldn't tell someone about ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or other treatments that might be helpful for them. Your license was put at risk, and California actually enacted a law saying that doctors could be punished for spreading what they considered to be COVID misinformation if they weren't sharing information with their patients that was supported by the general scientific consensus, whatever that means. And in fact, a court found, what is that term? That's an ill-defined, very vague term. And so that California law went into effect, was passed, and we sought an injunction to stop the law from going into effect on behalf of doctors in California. And an injunction was issued, and California actually repealed that law. But now is using general standard of care to argue for essentially the same action, censoring doctor speech. We have a case in Washington State, and we have a case in Maine for Dr. Meryl Nass.
Meryl Nass has become a test case, hasn't she?
Yes, she really, and this was a case, and we see this with other doctors as well. It wasn't that her patients were complaining about the treatment they had received from her. In fact, they were very happy with the treatment that Dr. Nass was providing them. So these aren't patients saying, my doctor has done me wrong.
Right.
These are people going after doctors who are sharing information that they believe is helpful to their patients and that they feel a moral and ethical obligation to share as someone who's supposed to be healing their patients and helping their patients to share this information. But we've also, we brought a case, Children's Health Defense brought a case against what was then Facebook, is now Meta, for censoring CHD speech on Meta. We're fighting that case. We're taking it. We're asking the Supreme Court to hear that case.
Wow.
We'll be filing that petition in January. We believe there's ample evidence that the government worked along with Facebook and other social media platforms, in some cases very much strong-arming the social media platforms into removing information that countered the prevailing narrative that the federal government and state governments were trying to keep in the forefront for people so that people didn't hear alternative points of views. And we also have another case, Kennedy and CHD, against Biden, which is in the Fifth Circuit down in
where?
Louisiana.
Against what?
It's in the Fifth, against the Biden administration.
Oh, against Biden, yeah.
So, again, for censoring CHD, for deplatforming us, and for colluding with and pressuring the social media companies to take information off, to deplatform individuals and organizations. They went after what was known as, the disinformation dozen, for example. And we've also gone after...
What an honor to be on that list,
I know.
Right?
It is a good group of people in the disinformation dozen. And they were people, they're certainly not the only ones, but they were some of the most vocal people in countering disinformation often being spread as part of what the government wanted to be the prevailing narrative. That's the irony of this, right? A lot of the supposed myths and disinformation that was being shared by, CHD and other organizations is absolutely factually accurate information.
Right, right.
That's not the driver behind what should or shouldn't control censorship, but the irony is that people were prevented from hearing accurate, potentially helpful to them information. And we've also filed an antitrust suit against a number of what's known as the legacy media, so the Washington Post and Reuters and the BBC,
wow.
again, for colluding to keep information in a way that violates antitrust laws, is what we say. There's something called the group boycott where you get together and you work together to tamp down, another entity. So they're working together to keep people from sharing, from journalists, from sharing information that counters, again, that prevailing narrative. And,
wow.
The media is very much, there's very much a tight relationship between the media and the government on these issues.
It's quite amazing. And what else is amazing is the underground movement to get this information out despite all these Herculean efforts to censor them. They will not be censored. And they have figured out how to get the word vaccine on a Facebook post in the cleverest ways, and to get links to various articles and information in such clever ways. I'm always giggling about how amazing it is that where there's a will, there's a way.
No, there absolutely is, but we still have to fight that bigger picture censorship because we shouldn't have to be coming up
right.
with clever ways.
You're right. You're
to get
right.
those, to get that information out. People should be able to find it. And people, I think, one of the things that we've seen, unfortunately, as a result of the pandemic and injuries that people have experienced, for example, from COVID-19 vaccines, is that more and more people are starting to realize that what they had been told was not accurate.
Yeah.
And that
but
they
why
did,
would
and
they
that
lie?
They
why would I? Why would my doctor not tell me the truth? Why would the New York Times print an untruthful article about Robert Kennedy and Samoa? And you look at who wrote it. Brian Deere, who attacked Andy Wakefield. I mean, it's just incredible to me. Kim, this is fascinating, and we have to take our last break, and I want, when we come back, for you to give information about how people can be in touch with you, and then let's talk somewhat about your writing, okay?
Okay, perfect.
All right. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to The Autism Detective with my guest today, attorney Kim Mack Rosenberg, general counsel for Children's Health Defense. Kim, thank God for you and Mary and CHD and Robert Kennedy and all your efforts to support our rights to both sides of the story and free speech and not to be censored. Kim, you've done a lot of writing, too, and the cases that you've done in court are so important, and your writing gets out to people who may not be so on the front lines and know about some of these things, like, for instance, the HPV vaccine. And can you talk about that one and the, you know, the whole idea of how many vaccines kids are getting today? People, you know, I'm almost 80 years old, and my friends say, well, I was vaccinated, my kids were vaccinated. And I say, and yeah, how many did you have? And do you know how many kids get today? And their jaw hits the ground. So talk a little bit about the books that you've done.
Sure. So I've actually authored or edited three books. The most recent one was HPV Vaccine on Trial, which I co-wrote with Mary Holland and Eileen Iorio. And it's a deep dive into the HPV vaccines. The predominant vaccine now available in the United States is Gardasil 9, but there was a Glaxo, there is a GlaxoSmithKline product available elsewhere in the world, and there was the original Gardasil. And we did a deep dive into the development of these vaccines, the clinical trials, and information that previously had not been really discussed in a comprehensive way about these clinical trials and problems with the clinical trials and the results from the trials. And
the bottom line is, it's dangerous.
And, you know, I'm involved in litigation now with respect to the Gardasil vaccine. Mm. So there are cases, there are some state court cases, but there is what's called a multi-district litigation in federal court in North Carolina, which is bringing together hundreds of these cases to be tried. So it's very exciting because, Patty, as you know, it's very difficult the way the system is set up here in the United States, that there is very little liability. Essentially, it's liability-free for vaccine manufacturers to produce vaccines that are on the recommended childhood schedule. You have to, if you or a loved one suffers an injury from a recommended vaccine, have to go to the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which was set up to be supposedly not adversarial, but is, in fact, very adversarial at this point. And there are rules in place there, or lack of rules in place, that you would see in regular courts that make it very difficult for individuals and their families to get compensation in that program. And it's very difficult to come out of that program and bring a case in a federal or state court. So we're fighting that, and we are supporting a case called Hazelhurst against HHS, which goes all the way back to a VICP case in 2003, I believe it was originally filed, and we're arguing there that there was fraud on the court throughout the whole program, throughout the whole undertaking of the Hazelhurst case. And there's a lot of information about that on the defender on CHD's website, which is childrenshealthdefense.org. I would encourage your listeners to go there. There's
And become a member. It's only $10.
And become a member.
And Kim,
a member,
how would they find you if they wanted, had questions for you or wanted to talk to you about a case? How would they find you?
So they can find me. They can email me. My email is kim.macrosenberg, M-A-C-K-R-O-S-E-N-B-E-R-G, at childrenshealthdefense.org.
And you're taking on private cases as well as working for CHD.
So I have a small private practice that primarily focuses on insurance issues for families with autism and medical providers for individuals with autism.
And that's a big problem, isn't it?
It is. It's a very large problem. It's a very niche practice, but it's one where there's a lot of need in the provider and the family communities.
And it used to be, I don't know if it still is, if with an autism diagnosis was a pre-existing condition or if you had such a diagnosis, it disallowed you from getting coverage.
So you can get coverage now. That is, I rarely hear of someone who can't get coverage or can't get a policy, but getting coverage for the treatments that individuals need is still very, very challenging. And many of these treatments, even the very traditional treatments like applied behavior analysis, are very expensive.
Right.
And so getting and keeping coverage for those treatments is
it's always about
for the
money
and the
it?
Providers.
Yep, it's just they don't want to pay and they don't understand that a little bit now will save you a lot later.
And you know, it goes back to the work that CHD is doing to try to, you know, fundamentally what we're all about is protecting and improving children's health. Because we
exactly.
have the sickest kids in, you know, high resource, if we look at our peer high resource countries, we have the sickest children, and part of that is, you know, our toxic exposures to not only vaccines, but EMR and, electromagnetic radiation, 5G, can be very, very damaging to all of us. But children
right.
are particularly susceptible, and we see cell towers going up on or near schools, and we see Wi-Fi in every classroom,
And smart meters in every home.
Smart meters on every home. And in some states like Pennsylvania, you can't
yep.
opt out of the smart meter program.
Yep, I'm fighting them right now.
Yeah, it is a challenge. And then we have other exposures, right? There are issues with our food supply. There are issues, you know, dyes in food have been getting a lot of press lately.
Yep.
Those are a big issue. Pesticides. You know,
yep.
there are a lot of toxic exposures that our children
unknowing,
face.
And we're eating them unknowingly. It's, you know, glyphosate's in breast milk. You think you're doing your baby a favor. And unless everything is 100% organic, you're giving your baby a pesticide, an herbicide. It's just unbelievable how crazy it is out there. Kim, let's go
really
back
is.
Where we started to your son, Henry. He's a computer guy. What does he want to do? Does he want to make games? Does he want to make robots?
he's not sure yet what he wants to do. And what he really is, even more than a computer guy, is a
math guy. He's a what?
He's a math guy. He absolutely loves math. He said to me at some point after he finished Calculus 2, why don't they have Calculus 3 for me to take?
Oh, that's great.
We tapped out my math abilities there for sure.
Well, Kim, this has been just remarkable. I am so grateful for your friendship and for you coming on the Autism Detective. And I just, we're all so hopeful with the possibility of Mr. Kennedy coming on to HHS and having people we know who are going to be transparent in the government and change some of these insane practices like fluoride in the water.
These are it is very exciting, hopeful times for sure.
Yep.
And I think
yep.
all of us are, you know, are looking forward to seeing some big changes
yep.
for the betterment of our children's health and our own health.
Well, good luck to you and your health, and give Henry my best, and have a good holiday season, and Happy New Year. 25 is going to be a
too.
Good year. All right. Thank you.
It's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to Bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.